my personality to be jittery. It's part of my charm.
Wrestling fans,
are you ready?
It's time for my 1-2-3 cents of a podcast on the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network.
Give me the hell yeah!
Now, here's your host.
The man is also a very long, dear, personal friend of mine.
Does the guy have a name?
Yes, he has a name.
Kevin Huntsberger.
Woo!
Everyone, happy new year and welcome to episode 163 of my 1-2-3 cents of the podcast. And since it is the start of a new year, or wrapping up an old year, I suppose, we are doing the Cinti Awards, and I am joined once again by Chad Smart. Chad, welcome back to my 1-2-3 cents, the podcast.
Always a pleasure to be here. And, you know, before we get started, I just want to send a shout-out to you and Tom Harness on your fundraising event, Two Ugly Guys. You guys made your hit your goal. So can't wait to see what comes from Two Ugly Guys next year.
Thank you. I'm glad you brought that up because, yes, that thing is over, the fundraising efforts. Thank you to everyone who did donate. Chad and Positive Cynicism, your podcast that actually I meant to ask you about earlier, but we'll talk about that throughout the night, I'm sure. I'm halfway through your Star Wars episode, the Last Jedi episode. So you guys, you and your friend out there, and I'm drawing a blank on his name, but
Eric,
yeah, you guys have had some very interesting conversations, and I would love to see, and I'm glad you took pictures and posted them of the inside of his house with all the Star Wars decor that he has. And I got to learn more about this carbonite.
Stan, that was my friend on episode 24.
Okay.
Star Wars fandom, yeah. Although Eric does have a collection of collectibles that maybe in a future episode he'll let me take photos of and post. But yes, he is also a collector in that regard.
Gotcha. Okay. Now it's coming back to me. I listened to these. I should listen to them closer together, and then maybe I would know more of what I'm talking about. But I had to squeeze in 5 hours about Gold Dust from Something to Wrestle With. So,
yeah, see, that's the part of Positive Cynicism. We try to keep shows manageable where you can listen to them. That's why we only do like an hour a month. So.
Well, yeah, and again, Positive Cynicism, the Five Heart Podcast, Nerds United, My 1-2-3 Cents, all a part of the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network. So be sure to check it out, jitterymonkey.com, and then, of course, on Facebook and Twitter as well. And, you know, Chad is over on Twitter at Chad Smart. And we actually started doing the Centies years ago on My 1-2-3 Cents, the blog, and I still do post the blog along with the actual podcast. They'll both drop on Monday. This year, it just happens to be on January 1st. So, and we came up with some categories years ago and have kind of tweaked them a little bit along the way, but pretty much stuck with the same. And we were talking before we started rolling. I feel like mine are kind of all over in terms of usually, and I am a WWE loyalist in terms of wrestling, but probably the last month and a half or so, the last 6 weeks, I have not been as engaged in wrestling in general other than what I'm doing with Stride Pro Wrestling, and I'll be talking about that throughout some of mine. And part of that is not to be biased, but yes, I clearly am being biased because I'm a part of that, but also to kind of raise awareness and get the word out about indie wrestling, but also specifically Stride Pro Wrestling, because I do know there are pockets of listeners here in the Southern Illinois, Southeast Missouri area that I'm hoping that will come out and support the show or see a show. So that's kind of where I'm coming from on some of mine. But you were talking too earlier, yours are kind of more leaning toward WWE, is that right?
Yeah, this year has really been probably my least outside the mainstream. Watching wrestling has been the least content. You know, I have my subscription to Chikaratopia, which I highly recommend. I believe it's $7.99 a month, or they still have the 10 months or 12 months for $70 option. You know, I still watch Chikara faithfully. I'm waiting on them to put up, I believe, the last three shows of the year. And but other than that, I haven't really paid much attention to anything else. I am debating signing up for Powerbomb.tv, which Go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just, I was acknowledging that, yes.
Oh, yeah, I believe you had the creator or organizer of Powerbomb TV on an episode.
That's right, earlier this year, yes.
Yeah, and it seems like a good deal for, I believe, again, it's $8 or $9 a month, and you have access to a wide range of independent promotions. My thing is just finding the time to sit down and watch shows, in, you know, as a whole, so...
Yeah, I would I would totally agree with that. Now, let me ask you about Chikaratopia. You said you're waiting for the last three shows, so does that mean they don't drop them instantaneously like the network does?
No, it depends. Some shows they will do live streams of, and they actually did the season finale as a live stream, and so that is up there. But normal shows are put up, I believe, 7 weeks after they happen.
Okay.
So I think it's like a week or two to get the show out onto DVD, and then 5 to 6 weeks after that is when they put it up on Chikaratopia. So unfortunately, that does, for someone like me who doesn't read spoilers for Chikara, it makes watching shows a bit tricky because I want to watch the live stuff when it happens, but if I'm not caught up, like I did watch the finale, and there's a lot of stuff that happened, and I'm like, wait, who's this? Why is this happening? What's going on? And Chikara, as you know, is heavy on storytelling, so it's not just two guys in the ring fighting for no reason. Like everything happens for a purpose.
I was going to ask you how you dealt with that, because I know how you are with spoilers and keeping up with things. So basically you were able to watch the finale live, but there's still some holes to fill in between the last show you watched and the finale?
Yes, and that's actually, thinking about it, that will come up again on my Star on the Horizon Award.
Okay. So you came up with somebody, because a minute ago you weren't sure who you were going to put in there.
Yeah, I decided I'd pull this one out. I think it's a good choice, and it gives me a Chikara pick again to keep my streak going.
Well, I wonder, now that we've said that, I wonder if we have the same person picked for that.
I doubt it.
Okay. Okay.
Although I'm curious now who yours is. So.
Okay. Well, where do you want to start at the top with Wrestler of the Year?
Well, no, you always save Wrestler of the Year for last. I would say let's start with Star on the Horizon, since we just...
All right. Well, I've got these out of order, so let's start with Star on the Horizon. All right. And I need help with mine, because it is a Chikara guy, and I picked him based on social media presence. Okay. I don't know a whole lot about him, but I picked Matthew Riddle.
Oh, okay. He's not... I wouldn't really call him a Chikara guy.
Okay.
He has a few Chikara appearances, but he's more of an indie star in general.
Okay. So yeah, I don't know a whole lot about him. I know he has an MMA background. He has a pretty decent presence on social media. He seems like somebody who's pretty badass. I know there's been talk, and I guess kind of where I started paying more attention was there was a little bit of buzz about him, being a younger version of Brock Lesnar. Again, I don't know that much about him to draw those conclusions. So the impression I got was he was doing a little bit of work with Chikara. So that's kind of where I thought you might know a little bit more about him.
Yeah, like I said, I believe he did show up on one or two shows this year. Couldn't tell you what shows those were, because anyone who follows Chikara knows that they have a tendency to, every show has a different name. There's no consistency. This year, the names were taken from, I believe, Doctor Who episodes, So it's next year is all Goosebump titles. So, yeah, I couldn't tell you what shows. I would have to do a Google search to find out.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. But yeah, I'm a little bit familiar with him. I know he's wrestled, I believe, in PWG a few times. Unfortunately, I don't make it to PWG shows, so I have not seen him in person. I definitely think he is probably a name that we're going to hear a lot more out of, and in 5 years would not be surprised if he isn't wrestling for WWE or Impact or whatever version of Impact is still around in 5 years. But yes, he does have a large internet following.
Very good. Who's your star on the horizon?
I'm going with Ophidian, which if you're a Chikara fan, you're probably saying, wait, Ophidian's been around for 6-7 years. How is he a star on the horizon? Well, apparently in the Chikara universe, the new Ophidian, or Ophidian now, is not really Ophidian. Ophidian lost a match, I believe, back in August, and was carried out in a sarcophagus, and put into a van and taken away by a guy named Whisper. And now Whisper apparently has donned the mask and clothing of Ophidian and has taken over that persona, and now even has a new Amasis, the Funky Pharaoh, at his side. Again, this is something that happened on the last show, and I haven't put the pieces all together yet. So, but what I have seen of the Whisper over this year definitely makes me think that he has a bright future in Chikara.
So definitely check out Chikaratopia. You can also go to chikarapro.com and maybe learn a little bit more about the men and women of Chikara. And we've had some podcast episodes too. Solo Darling, for example, has been a guest on the show this year too. So you can definitely check it out and get kind of caught up to speed on the comings and goings with Chikara, because what you just explained seemed a little bit confusing, I think, but
yes.
I think you can get on board if you get into Chikaratopia. Is that right?
Yeah, I think Chikara is definitely a promotion that if you watch one show, you can enjoy the show for what it is, but the storylines are very in-depth, that there's a lot to them that you can go back and watch older shows and watch. And also, you know, if you have Chikaratopia, you can go back through all 19 seasons that Chikara has been around and watch guys like a guy named Claudio Castagnoli, who you may know as Cesaro, Cassius Ohno as Chris Hero, and even you know, guys like Sin Cara and
Luke Harper.
What's that?
Luke Harper.
Luke Harper, and I was going to say Lince Dorado, who I believe is still on 205 Live. Chikara has a lot of guys who are now in the WWE, so not too bad for a little crazy wrestling promotion out of Pennsylvania that mixes Lucha Libre and comic books.
It's a little engine that could, for sure. Well, who is your pick for most hated?
This one?
Did I have to even ask?
That guy. And you probably know my pick, and I can't see. I'm going to say, like, this is the first year I have to go back and look at our picks throughout the years, but I think this year is the year that I didn't pick Randy Orton. And he has been taken over. The new most hated is his greasy-haired replacement in Baron Corbin.
So, it's sad about what do you hate about Baron Corbin?
I think it'd be a shorter list to tell you what I like about Baron Corbin.
Okay, well,
I just don't like the character. I don't like he does nothing as a wrestler for me. I've never watched a match of his that has interested me. I don't think he's good on the mic. He is just there, and unfortunately, you know, he was kind of pushed too hard too soon. And that seems to be cooling off a bit, but yeah, he's an instant channel changer when he comes on.
Now, did you like him in NXT or not?
No.
Yeah. I'm in the same boat, and I did not pick him because I figured, well, you know what? I'll tell you what. I do have him as one of my picks down the road, and we'll get to it in just a few minutes, but my most hated, because I didn't want to be completely negative, I picked injuries in general. There have been a lot of names sidelined in 2017, the most recent being Dean Ambrose, who is reportedly out for up to 9 months, which would be probably past SummerSlam 2018 before he's able to come back. So I hate that for him. I hate that for fans. I was really hoping, I know it's kind of cliche or you know, whatever with the Shield reunion, but I was looking forward to them doing something more than what they were able to do, because between he and then Roman Reigns getting sick with meningitis or whatever it was that was going around, you know, we didn't get to see that. Big Cass is out. You know, on the independent scene, Farmer Billy Hills, who is a part of Stride Pro Wrestling and Cape Championship Wrestling, has been out for several months with an injured back and is hopefully now going to be back in sometime in July if the treatments that he is doing continue to work. Nikki Lane, who is one of the women wrestlers in Cape Championship Wrestling, suffered a broken orbital bone at one of their most recent shows. She got kind of kicked in the face. So it's just kind of the injury bug has hit both the independent scene and, of course, the big guys, too, if you will, with WWE. So I hate that injuries happen. But, of course, when you are in the ring and doing your thing like that night after night, you got to expect sometime along the way that somebody's going to get hurt. And, you know, hopefully many of these superstars that I've mentioned are hopefully all of them are back in the ring sooner than expected and healthy at that too. So I picked injuries for my most hated.
Yeah, I'm not that familiar with Nikki Lane, but I would like to see if her injury isn't that bad, you know, isn't too drastic, that she can get a Phantom of the Opera mask on and maybe change her name to Nikki Taker. Or Underlane.
You know, there was some talk of her doing a pirate gimmick. I know you listen to Podzilla 1985, yes?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, they haven't talked about me lately, so I'm not feeling so much love. But
check must have bounced.
But I know I don't remember if it was Asa. I think it was Asa had suggested the pirate gimmick. So, what did you pick for, you know, we talked about Baron Corbin, so let's just jump to most overrated. And that's where I put Baron Corbin was most overrated.
I think I'm for female of the year.
No, you know, kind of the things that Chad explained, him winning Money in the Bank when I heard early on, and Money in the Bank was a show that we were both at. And I don't know, did we ever, I don't feel like, because we kind of missed each other there at the end. I don't know that we ever did a synopsis or a recap of Money in the Bank, but I was so disappointed that he won for all the reasons you named earlier. He's just one of those guys, has not resonated with me as a fan, has not clicked. I know how you feel about Randy Orton. I'm not a huge Randy Orton guy myself, but I don't put Corbin quite on, you know, I don't like Baron Corbin, and I Randy Orton I can at least tolerate. Baron Corbin's one of those guys that I just don't see myself changing my mind or outlook toward.
Yes, we did not discuss Money in the Bank here on the podcast, but you know my favorite part of that pay-per-view was that network special or whatever you call it.
What's that?
James Ellsworth getting the briefcase in the first ever women's Money in the Bank match. That was just, I felt such a deserving moment for that little guy.
Is he your female of the year?
If he shows up at the 2018 Royal Rumble, he will be my female of 2018.
Well,
my overrated, most overrated is, you know, again, you know me, so this probably isn't going to be a big surprise. It's Shinsuke Nakamura.
Yeah.
He's a guy that I know comes in with a lot of fanfare from New Japan. It's been 2.5 years and I still don't understand the appeal. He makes stupid faces and hits really hard.
Now, did you watch him at all in New Japan?
No, that's the thing. I'm not a New Japan fan. Meaning, and I say that as someone who has not watched a ton of New Japan matches. I don't have access to watch their weekly show, although I am thinking about, I believe it's available via Sling TV, and so I was thinking of signing up for that the next week when they do the Wrestle Kingdom 12 special, and maybe checking it out. But yeah, I'm not a New Japan fan, so when these guys come in from New Japan, what they do over there doesn't translate for me. And granted, Nakamura hasn't really been given a lot to do in WWE, but yeah, he's nothing more than stupid faces to me.
Well, and I just went back because when you brought that up, I remember we talked about him last year on the show, and you were leaning towards Nakamura, but you went in a different direction.
Who did I say?
You picked Zack Sabre Jr.
Oh, okay.
So, but yeah.
I still don't know Zack Sabre Jr. either, but I haven't seen as much of him this year, so.
So now, I'm assuming then, like, you would not care, or you couldn't care either way if they go like AJ Nakamura at WrestleMania?
I will be in attendance at 2018 Royal Rumble, and I fully expect Shinsuke Nakamura to win.
Really?
Yeah. He's my pick as of January 1st, 2018.
I haven't.
Because I think they're setting up Nakamura versus AJ for Mania.
Okay.
That would be a somewhat logical way to go.
I need to get caught up on, because I'm way behind on Raw and SmackDown, so I wasn't even thinking of that.
I say that because Elimination Chamber is a Raw pay-per-view, and SmackDown doesn't have a pay-per-view before WrestleMania.
Okay, that makes sense.
So it makes sense to have a SmackDown wrestler win the Royal Rumble.
Sure. Interesting. Okay. Well, we talked overrated. Let's talk underappreciated.
You know what today is?
January 1st?
Rusev Day!
Oh, God. I walked right into that. Jeez.
Every day is Rusev Day. And Rusev, I think, has shown, you know, through the course of his WWE career to be someone that the fans can really want to get behind. And even without Lana by his side, which I think once they separated them, a lot of people probably thought Rusev would, people would stop caring. But he has come up with Rusev Day, and just his promos are great. And I like the pairing with Aiden English. I just wish WWE would kind of get behind Rusev and give him a push that the fans want.
Why do you think it is that? So you think it's WWE that underappreciates him and not the fans?
I was just watching SmackDown from December 26th because we're recording this on the 27th, and I missed it. And that whole opening segment when Daniel Bryan's in the ring and then all the tag teams come out. I mean, Rusev was the one that the fans were chanting for the most. I think Rusev Day has replaced the New Day. And, yeah, I don't think WWE has really done anything with Rusev since he rode a tank into WrestleMania 31 and then got beat by John Cena. So
yeah, I mean, that's because last year Rusev was my pick for biggest fall from grace. So do you feel like there's kind of a correlation then with – because it does seem like after the loss to Cena, he just kind of went nowhere fast.
Yeah. Well, and then they – was it 32? He was part of the League of Nations that
got decimated by the Legends.
By the Legends, yeah. So, yeah, I don't know what the... And I, you know, there, you could say that according to rumor and innuendo, Vince is still mad that Rusev and Lana went public with their engagement while they were doing the storyline with Dolph Ziggler. I don't know what it is, but... I think it's also... goes back to showing that if you give a wrestler a catchphrase, that's probably like 80% of them getting over.
Yeah. I did see some of the highlights from SmackDown, and the double acolyte looked pretty amazing. Are you there?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm there.
Okay. I'm right in that, right?
Sure. I don't know. I actually... fast forward through the match because I knew who won.
Oh, okay.
So I tried to get as much of the show in before we recorded this.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, I told everybody kind of listening to this, I'm kind of jumping in with some of my indie guys. I picked Stride Pro Wrestling referee Lane Austin because Lane is literally almost every month the only referee in Stride. And that's, you know, 6-7 matches every show. I mean, he is the man. And he also refs in Cape Championship Wrestling. And there are some fans, and I know fans are fans, but there are some fans that kind of give Lane a hard time and you know, boo him or, you know, yell that he sucks. And it's all in fun, and I get it. But Lane really is one of those guys that busts his ass. And I know he's not a wrestler and he's not in the ring, you know, fighting per se. But I've reffed before, and it is – and I know you have too, but you did not do a good job. But
what?
Just ask Farmer. Wasn't it a Farmer match that you reffed?
Yes, it was Gaylord versus Farmer.
That needs to happen again. But anyway, you know, being a referee, I know a lot, and I think referees in general these days, especially in WWE, are underappreciated because. How many referees can you name by name now? You know, back when we were kids watching, you knew all the referees by name. They talked about them on commentary. They were in the magazines. Some of them had storylines. But now, unless it's somebody who's been around forever, like Charles Robinson, it's really hard to distinguish who the referees are. And I know that's part of the rebranding of wrestling, if you will, or so it seems. But I think referees in general, but specifically my buddy Lane Austin, unappreciated and definitely sometimes, you know, the wrestlers themselves kind of forget that, you know, he is one man and he's in there kind of doing his thing and trying to call a match. So I pick referees for most underappreciated. So would you ref again?
I mean, I would, but I have to say, you know, I have a newfound respect after reffing that one match, just from counting the three fall. At the end of the match, my arm was on fire. That ring is, you know, that mat is not as soft as probably a lot of people who don't like wrestling think it is. And all I did was slap the mat. I can't imagine falling on it and, you know, taking all the abuse that wrestlers take on a nightly basis and, you know, in WWE or on a monthly basis in the independents. It's, after having that match, you can call wrestling fake if you want, if you're stupid enough to do so, but it's anything but.
Yeah, that was my experience too. When I reffed two matches, and my hand and arm, like you said, were on fire at the end of it. So yeah, and I remember when I showed up to do this, a company just contacted me and asked me if I could come ref. And I get there, and up to that point, all I'd ever done before was ring announce for the Axel or the Ian Rotten shows. And I get there, and the guy's like, "Can you bump?" And I'm like, I've never done it before. Like, okay, so I ended up just reffing. I didn't get knocked down or anything, so probably.
Like, oh, yeah, I can bump and grind. You got some Belle Biv DeVoe up in here?
Yeah. All right, so let's jump to Breakout Star of the Year. And, you know, my pick, and again, I do not watch NXT as much as I should. I've seen good things though, and read good things about, and I just from his time in Chikara, I know that he's a good guy, and that is Johnny Gargano.
You also know one other thing about him that I'm surprised it's a good thing about him.
I'm not. I knew when I brought up his name, you're going to bring that up. No, Johnny Gargano. Again, one of those guys. I think it's a matter of time before he is called up to the main roster. He's somebody that I thought I always, you know, when he was in Fist, Friends in Similar Tights in Chikara, I always Chuck Taylor was my guy. I like Chuck Taylor over Johnny Gargano, but. And I thought Chuck would be the one to get called up to WWE first. But I think that Gargano does a great job. And, you know, I just think that he will continue to shine. And I know he's been out too, or had been out with an injury, but seems to be doing very well for himself in NXT.
Yeah, I believe he's back. I believe tonight, actually, as we record this, I believe he was in a four-way match to crown the number one contender to the NXT champion.
Excellent.
I have not read the spoiler, so I don't know how that went down. But yeah, and I believe, yeah, Gargano was one that, when he was in Chikara, I was kind of surprised that he was in Chikara as long as he was. I thought he would be, you know, he was a bigger indie star. I even saw him wrestle out here in Culver City a couple of years ago for a promotion that I want to say Les Thatcher and Nigel McGuinness were running for about six shows and then just stopped after they crowned champions. It was kind of odd.
Yeah.
And I mean, I saw them in a, you know, PWG runs in the Reseda Legion Hall, which seats about 200 and then cram 400 people into it. The Culver City Legion Hall, where they were set up, seated about 35, and that was standing room only. So,
oh wow,
yeah, it was a small show. Yeah, but Gargano is a good guy, and one that I was, you know, glad to see he made the jump from Chikara to WWE, and I believe by the end of the year, he will probably be on the main roster. And then, as far as my breakout star of the year, I'm going to stick with NXT, and this is a guy who, when I first saw him, when he competed on the last season of Tough Enough, I didn't like him based on his personality. I just thought he was kind of, thought he was better than everybody else because he, and to his credit, he seemed to be the only one that was actually a wrestling fan, whereas everybody else was just looking for stardom. And then when he showed up in NXT afterwards, didn't really have a lot of high expectation for him. But his match at NXT TakeOver San Antonio against Aleister Black was, I think, a star-making performance. And that is the Velveteen Dream.
Mm.
Not to be confused with the American Dream or Willie Richards, the urban American Dream, but the Velveteen Dream is, I think it harkens back to early Goldust in the ambiguous sexuality aspect of it, and then also playing off of Prince. And I think the character has a lot of potential. Of course, once it gets called up to the main roster, will be thrown out with no explanation and will probably die a quick death, kind of like the original Tyler Breeze and Bo Dallas gimmicks were. So hopefully, by the time he gets called up, they can figure out how to bring him up with momentum.
I definitely need to go and get caught up, and I've heard a lot of good things about him as well. So definitely going to check more of that out and learn more about him. Who's your pick for female of the year?
Yeah, this is what I tried to really, I wanted to go outside of WWE, but, you know, Chikara's two main females, Princess Kimberly and Heidi Lovelace are now in WWE. I can't think of what Kimberly's NXT name is, but Heidi
Abby Lath.
Abby Lath, okay. And Ruby Riott is Heidi Lovelace, and she's now on SmackDown.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other females, I don't really know in Chikara if they're sticking around based on, you know, I thought about Solo Darling. She did capture the Campeonatos de Parejas for the shortest reign in Chikara history, losing shortly after gaining it to the Los Ice Creams. But her tag team with Travis Huckabee is the Rumblebees has been a breakout team in Chikara. But overall, you know, when you think female of the year, you have to go with the first woman to win both women's WWE titles, and that is Alexa Bliss.
Wow, we picked the same person.
All right, well, I'll let you talk about Alexa.
Well, you know, I mean, you're fine. Continue on. I mean, the same reason you picked, and I think that everybody else kind of has their money on Asuka, and I would almost rather explain why, because I know you and I have had conversations, but not on this podcast. You know, Alexa Bliss obviously deserves the credit here, as you mentioned, the first female to win the Raw and SmackDown championships. Great character development. She's good in the ring. She's good on the mic. She plays that little, pardon my French, the little chicken shit heel character, I think, very well with what she, you know, with what she does in the ring. And despite losing to Charlotte at Survivor Series, I do think there's still a lot there with Alexa. And, you know, I just dig what they've done with her so far.
Yeah, I think you hit all the right points. And, you know, as far as Asuka, we haven't discussed it on the podcast. We haven't discussed privately that I'm not a fan of Asuka's, mainly because, and partially not any fault of her own, but I think her undefeated streak in NXT did more damage to the women's division than positive. And granted, they didn't know, you know, going in that she was going to be injured right before getting called up. But I think it left NXT without a solid, credible champion. And because no one did beat her. And Ember Moon, I don't think has been really, as far as what I've seen in NXT, hasn't been highlighted enough to justify being champion. And then it's as far as being on the main roster, Asuka hasn't done a lot yet to prove herself, other than beat up Alicia Fox and send Emma packing. So I'm going with Alexa Bliss because, yes, great character development, and you know, she's just that woman. I think she's going into female honky tonk man cat territory where you're just waiting for her to get beat.
Yeah. That's a good analogy. Who is, let me see here, biggest fall from grace? We mentioned his name a little earlier for me, and I wasn't sure where to go with this, but I picked James Ellsworth just because, and biggest fall from grace sounds negative, and when I pick James Ellsworth, I don't necessarily mean it as a negative, because I feel like he probably did more with his 15 minutes than he anyone else may have done in that same role. If you look back, you know, he was enhancement talent for Braun Strowman in early 2016. Was over like Rover, though. They brought him in. He worked with Carmella. And then, you know, he kind of unceremoniously got dumped by not just Carmella, but all the women. Kind of whipped him, and then he disappeared. And again, a great career for him, you know, the year and some change that he was there, but nothing to be ashamed of, but definitely one of those guys that once he kind of grabbed onto that fame, you thought, well, maybe they're going to do something else with him. Maybe they're going to do something else with him, because I thought after he was done with the Dean Ambrose stuff, he was done, but then they paired him up with Carmella. It worked. As you mentioned, he helped win, or I guess technically did win, the first female Money in the Bank match.
Carmella won. James was not eligible to win.
But anyway, yeah. I went with James Ellsworth, and again, not to mean meant to be negative or demeaning to him by any means, because he rode that horse as far as it would take him, and definitely, I guess, pun intended, cashed in and made himself a star.
Yeah, I mean, and it's unfortunate, you know, I think it was just contract ran out, and so he was kind of humiliated on his way out. Wish he could have come up with something better for him as an exit, but it got the job done. It explained why he's no longer there. And yeah, when he showed up versus Braun Strowman, no one would have expected him to still be around in September of 2017. So I believe he's got an action figure out. You know, I'm sure his independent bookings have risen due to this. So, hey, take it and make the most of it.
Absolutely.
My biggest fall from grace is NXT. Mm. You know, since it premiered on the network, NXT was pretty much can't miss television. The takeover specials were all usually the better show of the weekend when they would be paired with a WWE pay-per-view. But this year, I think with all the call-ups that have happened and the restocking of talent, the talent just, one, isn't, it falls into two categories. One, it's either talent that hasn't made its name yet. So, you know, it's like an indie, it's now more of an indie promotion where guys are coming in and establishing themselves. Or my biggest problem is they're using guys that didn't thrill me on the independent scene. So seeing them in NXT makes NXT not must watch television. I'm thinking mostly of the Undisputed Era. Bobby Fish, Kyle O'Reilly, and Adam Cole, Bebe. These are guys that never interest me in Ring of Honor. Didn't care for them when they would show up in PWG. And now that Fish and Cole are, or not Cole, but O'Reilly are the NXT tag champs, NXT just is, it's kind of there at the moment.
Very good. Well, this kind of, I guess, could work its way in because I know a lot of people buzz about the NXT show. So what did you pick for show of the year?
This one, I'm going outside the box because I
was going to say, if you say one of the takeover shows, I'm going to fly out to LA and kick you in the nose.
No, my problem is I don't remember what show is. You know, I can barely tell you what happened on WrestleMania.
Right.
Outside of major things. So I really don't know. I was going to go with Great Balls of Fire just because I wanted to be juvenile and pick on the name and the logo. But I'm going way out of the box and not even wrestling related. It's the only thing I could think of, and we have to plug them at some point in this show. I'm going with Tom and Jim's Top 5 because it's a show that I look forward to every Wednesday.
Oh, man. We do love ourselves some Tom and Jim and their Top 5. So Chad definitely going to get some brownie points, I think, with those guys this week.
Yeah. So other than that, yeah, I don't know. What is your show? And I thought about going with like Buried Alive or Stride just for the fact that it was an indie promotion that did a Buried Alive match, but I didn't see the show. So that would just be me trying to promote Stride.
Well, and that is what I picked. I did pick Buried Alive because, and Tom and Jim, by the way, I know Tom is listening to this. I do love Tom and Jim's Top 5 and Skullbuster Podcast, and we'll definitely, once the holidays are out, now that the holidays are out of the way, we'll work it out and we'll do some, what do they call it? Crossover, yes, crossover stuff. I almost said interpromotional, but I knew that wasn't the right word. But we'll definitely do something with those guys for sure. But I did pick Buried Alive because of my affiliation with Stride, and I know how much work went into not only the Buried Alive match itself, the promotion of that match, getting the word out. It was, as far as I know, it was one of the very few Buried Alive matches ever in general, but on the independent scene up until this point, I don't know of any others. I'm sure there have been some. The match was beautifully done. I talked about it right afterward a couple of episodes ago, so you can go back and listen to more of those details. Chris Hargis and Red Daniels put their bodies on the line and beat the hell out of each other for nearly 30 minutes or right around the 30-minute mark. They told a great story. They have been telling this story since about September, I believe. Might have even been August, but it just worked on so many levels. And again, Chris Hargis is a hell of a wrestler. a week later won the Legacy Championship in Stride Pro Wrestling. He wrestles and is very active up in the St. Louis area with Southern Illinois Championship Wrestling, was the champion up there. He is one of the greats as well. Red Daniels is gone, but the 16 or 18 months that he was a part of Stride was a hell of an athlete, and will be missed as far as being a part of the monthly operations with Stride. So some great competitors in that match, but you know, this is show of the year, and top to bottom, that card was stacked. Heath Hatton and Dexter Roswell. Dexter Roswell is really coming into his own as a character and as a wrestler. He's always been good on the mic. Now he's getting that ability in the ring. He's got some experience under his belt. He's got the confidence. He needs to continue, and I know he's listening too. Carry on and take that confidence and take it up a notch. He is almost there. He is so close, and I know that 2018, he is going to just break through and continue on and continue to shine. Axe Allwart, you know, one of my I love Axe. I can't say enough about Axe Allwart. There was the beard versus mask match with El Magnifico and Brian Richards. There was just so much that was a part of that show that, you know, sticks with me, and I know it was just a month ago, but I love my Stride guys, and I, for the first time in a long time, I had that wrestling buzz going after the show and well after the show, that I was just so hyped up and excited for the performance. It was a sellout crowd, and the fans were on their feet for that entire Buried Alive match. So I have rambled a lot about it, but I am proud of the effort. I can't articulate it well enough how proud I am of everyone who is a part of Stride and who was a part of Buried Alive, whether behind the scenes or in front, making that evening happen and such a great night. So again, kudos to everyone that was a part of that show. And I hope that you are able in March, we've got 3 weeks, back to back to back show. So, but at some point I really hope, Chad, that you are able to come out and see another Stride show. I know you've been to one, but hopefully we can get you out here for another one.
Yeah. And actually that's the one, now thinking about it, I should have went with show of the year for that Stride show, just because when Tony Flood won the title, that is probably the best moment that I've had as a wrestling fan in 20 years, when the fans went absolutely crazy over a heel cheating to win, and you getting accosted just made the night that much better.
Yes, yes, that was at a show. That was a fundraiser show up in Mount Vernon, and it's funny that you bring that up, because that same fan who got all upset when Tony won came up to me. We were back up in Woodlawn in mid-December again for another fundraiser show. That same guy came up to me and started talking to me, and I'm like, oh, God, I hope nothing controversial happens tonight. Nothing did, so luckily he didn't yell at me or accost me in the bathroom. But, yeah, that same guy was there. But that was a good show for you to be at. I'm glad that you were there for that.
Well, and I think that will, if you want to, could segue into your All Out of Bubblegum Award.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's a great idea. And we have a couple more awards, but the All Out of Bubblegum Award was something a couple years ago when WWE came up with, after Dusty Rhodes and Rowdy Roddy Piper both died within like 6 weeks of each other. And WWE did the Warrior Award, of course, after the Ultimate Warrior's passing. And then they did the Dusty Rhodes tag team tournament on NXT. And then they unveiled statues for both Dusty Rhodes and with Ultimate Warrior. Well, Rowdy Roddy Piper was one of my favorites, and I felt like he was kind of being overlooked. And I know that this is obviously, a small podcast, a small blog with, you know, a handful of followers and whatnot, but I wanted to do something to honor Rowdy Roddy Piper. And by doing that, I came up with the All Out of Bubblegum Award, which is someone who has kind of kicks ass and takes names, in front of and behind the scenes. Last year, it was Heath Hatton for the work that he does with Stride Pro Wrestling. This year, I'm picking Jerry Travelstead, who is not only an in-ring performer with Stride, but one of those behind-the-scenes guys who makes sure that these fundraisers that we do get set up. He has a ring that he and Stone Cold Plumster, Josh Plumley, went out and bought. They have quite a setup with the videos that play for the wrestlers as they come out, the ring itself. They make these fundraiser events seem like obviously a WWE experience, but it is pretty darn close for an indie show for the experience that these fans get. And again, it's like $10 for fans to come out and watch, and it's a fundraiser. And Jerry just works tirelessly at these events. So my hat's off to Jerry. I respect him. I look up to him. He is one of those guys in the business that was a fan who, you know, did some fundraising, tagged up with Hacksaw Jim Duggan and got into the ring, and then discovered that he's pretty good at it and has honed that craft and comes to the school and works it out and whatnot, but also gives back and thinks of others, puts others first. So Jerry Travelstead, for that, you are this year's All Out of Bubblegum recipient. So thanks for the segue there, Chad. And we've only got two left, and that is best use of social media. Who did you pick for that?
Oh, I forgot about that one. I thought we were just down to one. that's why I segued. I have Rusev. I don't really know why I put him here, other than the fact that it's Rusev Day. I don't follow a lot of wrestling on social media.
Yeah.
So I know that I have seen a lot of Rusev being retweeted, and I think his humor and his personality comes out in his social media. So that's why I'm going with Rusev.
Okay. Good choice. I picked, actually, a guy by the name, he goes by Chris Slammer on Twitter. He's also on Facebook and on Instagram, but he is his actual Twitter handle is at Max Jim, M-A-C-S, then Jim. He's a wrestling fan. He is a wrestler. He has done some indie shows, but he is, you know, over the last probably year and a half, 2 years, I've gotten more into like the social media marketing side of, you know, branding and whatnot. He is a collar and elbow guy, which I am also as well, but I'm going to promote him here for a second. Obviously, if you want to go and shop, and I have had a couple of people who have bought collar and elbow stuff. It's my 123 cents is the code to use, but Chris Slammer he gets it. He embraces the whole marketing side of things, and follow him on Twitter or on Instagram. He posts, he is a fitness guy. Max Gym is the gym that he owns, but he has met Hulk Hogan. He is a huge Hulk Hogan fan. He's a Hulkamaniac, but he embraces and gets this whole marketing thing. And as far as the collar and elbow, because I follow a lot of the collar and elbow stuff, he's got it down, man. He gets it. So follow him. Learn more about what he does. He's a UPS driver by day and a wrestling fan / gym fanatic by night. And, he doesn't live far from here. I know he supports Cape Championship Wrestling. We have talked via the internet maybe about him coming and checking out a Stride show. I may have him on the podcast at some point. I would love to pick his brain and talk more to him, but he gets it. He gets the whole social media thing. So he is my pick this year for best use of social media. Which leaves us to just one award, and that is Wrestler of the Year. And I got to tell you, I bounced a few times on Wrestler of the Year. And probably no surprise, Chad, my original pick, and I changed it, was Neville. And I had picked Neville because...
Don't you have to be a wrestler to win Wrestler of the Year?
I don't know for sure, but I think he was the longest reigning champion of 2017 in WWE, at least. Kind of the way he walked out and the way things went down, and I don't know if he's coming back or what, you know, the future holds for him. So instead, I went with AJ Styles. who had a pretty decent year, a great match with Shane McMahon at WrestleMania. He won the United States Championship, and of course now he is once again WWE Champion, or at least as of this recording he is. We have speculated that he will face Nakamura at WrestleMania. I thought he had a pretty good performance at Money in the Bank, one of the more memorable moments at Money in the Bank. We were both there, as we mentioned earlier, live, where he hung from the belt there for a moment or two. So I just feel like AJ Styles is one of those guys who continues to get better with age. And I think that he is really, one of those guys that I wish he would have come to WWE a long time ago. But I think maybe by him waiting, he was able to get to that point to where he could just jump in. And, you know, the last 2 years, he has really impressed since starting at the Royal Rumble in 2016. He's just one of those guys. They handed him the ball, and he has done more than just run with it. He has done it all, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, you know, he was working in the last few months of WCW being around. He was on the WCW roster, and had he come over when WCW was bought by WWE, I don't think he would be the phenomenal one that we see today.
Yeah, I agree.
I think by, even being an Impact for like 25 years or however long it seemed like he was there, even the fact that they never really knew how to use him because he would be promoted as the face of the company until the latest WWE signee would come in. I'm trying to make him the new Nature Boy, which just did not fit his persona. But then definitely leaving Impact and going to Japan for a couple of years, I think helped kind of make him, pardon the pun, since he was part of the Bullet Club, but bulletproof, if you will, in terms of how WWE booked him. Mm-hmm. I think the fans would be behind him no matter what. Yes.
Totally.
Onto my pick, I went, because I had, the rest of my picks were mostly WWE related, I wanted to go someone off the WWE roster, and this guy, unfortunately, he didn't hang around Chikara long enough for my liking. I loved his smooth sailing Ashley Remington gimmick. I think it could have been huge, but then he showed up in Ring of Honor and a completely different persona, and one that, much like Velveteen Dream mentioned earlier with the callbacks to the early days of Goldust, this is a character that, on paper, you'd probably be like, I don't know if this is going to work, but somehow it has captured the ROH fans, and a couple weeks ago, he became Ring of Honor World Champion, and that is Dalton Castle, the Party Peacock. So I have not seen a lot of his work in Ring of Honor, but I did meet him at a Chikara show a couple years ago, and he just, by all accounts, seems to be a nice guy and someone who has worked hard to get where they are. And again, taking a gimmick that I don't think a lot of people can make successful and making it into what it is today. Dalton Castle is my wrestler of the year. I hope he has a solid, lengthy run as Ring of Honor champion.
Couldn't agree more, and I definitely need to check that out. And as we're kind of wrapping up, and obviously by the time this show drops on New Year's Day, we are recording on Wednesday night, the 26th, and I am actually on Twitter right now and seeing some video of Paige. She has apparently been injured during a match at a WWE house show. It looks like a six-woman tag, and they are taking her away on a stretcher. So obviously, we'll post updates, and like I said, by the time this drops, but I at least wanted to acknowledge that something has happened to Paige, and hopefully it is not anything too serious, because that whole storyline and idea with her and the other women is gaining a lot of momentum. So best wishes to Paige. As we mentioned earlier, the injury bug kind of plugging WWE. I don't know exactly what happened, but they are carrying her away right now as we speak on a stretcher. So, Chad, any other plugs or anything else you want to mention before we kind of wrap up? We're right at an hour on the Cinties this year.
I want to plug Positive Cynicism. I've actually been kind of consistent the last month with new episodes, and looking forward to a productive 2018. I have some few monthly show topics in the works, so hopefully that will take off. We can plug the other podcasts that we listen to. We've already plugged Tom and Jim's Top 5 and Skullbuster Russell Pro, or Russell Podcast, something like that.
Skullbuster WrestleCast.
There you go. Podzilla 1985, those guys do, and girls do, like 18 shows a week. Even though they're a little too much, too big of fans of yours for my understanding, I don't get it. now I'm trying to think of what shows are worth promoting. None that have promoted us, so
that's
no
true.
Promoted yet.
That's true. Yeah, those are the ones I listen to, and then of course, Nerds United with Greg Mahochko.
The guy that pays the bills.
So, and then of course, you're like you said, Positive Cynicism drops on Tuesday, so you can check out My 1-2-3 Cents Mondays and Positive Cynicism on Tuesdays, and it's a good time for sure.
Totally.
Well, friends, thank you so much. Again, you can check Chad out, by the way, too, on Twitter at Chad Smart. Let's see if we can get him 10 new followers before the end of the week. Chad, you'll have to let us know, because I know you always say you feel like Waldo. Nobody's finding you on Twitter. So hopefully 10 new followers by the end of the week for at Chad Smart. It is that easy. And if we get there, maybe we'll give out a My 1-2-3 Cents prize as well, just to encourage some followers, because really, other than yelling at clouds, he doesn't do a whole lot else on Twitter. Do you?
I don't. I think I need to hit up Chris Slammer and hire a marketing guy to help me out, because I don't find social media that I don't use social media the way that I should to be promoting myself.
That's true. We'll work on that. That's something we're going to work on in 2018 for Chad. So follow him at Chad Smart. Let your friends know as well. Again, at My 1-2-3 Cents on Instagram and Twitter. And, of course, I'm at Kevin Huntsberger. So, everyone, thanks for listening. Have a great week. A happy new year. Let us know who your picks would be for the 2017 Cinti Awards.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.